The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
In the case of opportune timing, I understand that Canada was mentioned in Cabinet today because CETA, the Canada-EU trade agreement, the ratification of same was discussed. And we're going to get into all of that now with Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, you're very, very welcome to the show. And thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us. The big spectre looming over everything on this trade mission, this trip we're on, is, of course, the guy in the White House just down the road from here, Donald Trump, and the impact of tariffs and the upending of the global order when it comes to trade. And I know Mark Carney, from a Canadian point of view, in the White House today, and there's huge concern here about, you know, the impact of tariffs on their economy, the impact of tariffs on our own economy in Ireland. I know forming part of this annual progress report that yourself and Minister Chambers published today. So can you talk us through the projections therein, the downgrading of same?
Thanks very much, Ciarán. Today we government agreed to publish a report that lays out how we believe our economy will grow for this year and for next year. It's part of getting ready to do the budget. And what we have done is to take into account all of the trade uncertainties and risks that you have referred to. We have published two different scenarios. The first scenario, in which we have downgraded our growth outlook for this year by 0.5 percentage point. For next year by 0.25 percentage point. And then what we have then looked at is an environment in which there are higher tariffs. And we have said then that if that were to happen, our economy for this year and next year would grow at a slower pace again. So the big message in it all, Ciarán, is that tariffs are bad for trade. And because they're bad for trade, they are bad for economic growth and for the amount of new jobs that we would create. But in the different scenarios we've published today, we still do expect our economy to grow, just at a lower rate.
You describe in the statement tariffs as a significant headwind, is the language you use. Is it the only headwind?
So by some way, at the moment, it is the biggest challenge that we face. It's the biggest challenge because our economy is so open. It depends on trade with the rest of the world. And anything that affects openness or the rules of trade is a very big deal for us. It's fair to say, of course, there are more familiar challenges outlined in the report, the need for us to invest in our own future, the challenges that we will have, for example, if anything was to happen with global tax revenue and with negotiations on corporate tax. So there are other risks outlined. So it's not the only headwind. But at the moment, by some way, it's the biggest.
And that headwind manifesting, you know, not just from an exchequer point of view or from an overall economic point of view, but it manifests for individual firms. And it's one of the features of conversations I keep having here with, you know, Irish businesses who are over here in Canada with us, but also their Canadian counterparts they're talking to. And the way it manifests is, and I'm sure you see this as well in the conversations you have, is a wait and see, just decisions not being made. It's not that decisions are being made that are kind of detrimental to the Irish economy. It's rather they're just not making any decision.
So, Ciarán, that is an issue that we are seeing. The report that we've published today does outline the risk that within our economy, firms are holding back from making investment decisions. And because of that, that is then leading to our economy growing at a slower pace than it otherwise would. And my message to them is that we are doing our best to deal with global trade uncertainty. It's obviously caused outside of Ireland, but we're still doing our best. And secondly, that Ireland will, I believe, continue to be a good place within which you can make long-term investments.
How do you do that job of convincing them when, again, but part of the reason they're not making any decision is, you know, is because of those economic headwinds that we've talked about. They're not really sure what the future holds. But there's also a degree to which they're worried about political blowback, particularly in the US, were they to announce anything that, you know, might be seen as a in contravention of the America First policy. I mean, you know, how do you convince a business to kind of set those aside and actually continue maybe with expansion plans they would have had for Ireland?
Well, the two arguments that we make are firstly, that if they want to sell within Europe and within the single market of the European Union, that it's better for them that they have a presence within the EU from which they can sell to the rest of the European Union. So we make that argument as strongly as we can. The second argument that I make is I point to the success of the Irish domestic economy. And I argue to them that by being present here, they have the opportunity to sell their goods and services in a more efficient way to an economy that's still growing far quicker than the rest of than other economies within the EU. So there are the two arguments that I make here. But I am, of course, aware that many of these companies, in addition to investing in Europe, are also deciding to invest more in America as well.
The issue as well of the tariffs and the expiration of same, I mean, this is kind of a difficult question, I guess, for you to answer, but I mean, is there a prevailing mood music as to what might happen after the end of this famous 90 days?
So I guess at the moment, it's just extremely difficult to forecast what will happen at the end of the 90 days. And we'll get to that point in once we're firmly into the summer, which for me is a reason why we have to make use of every day that is still available to us before we get to that point. If we get to the end of the 90-day period, Kieran, and our trade difficulties are not resolved, we do run the risk that the fall in consumer and investor confidence is even bigger. We run the risk that there will be even bigger trade disputes and difficulties. And that is why the European Union is ready to negotiate with the US and wants to find a way to use the next few weeks to make some kind of an agreement. I think it'll be very hard to reach a full trade agreement in a few weeks. But what we want to do is reach a level of certainty around the big questions the US is raising, and thereby avoid things getting even worse in the second half of the year.
And let's imagine that that's ultimately what happens, that an agreement or the outline of an agreement is settled upon, and we avoid the worst case scenario as set out today in the document released, the annual progress report from yourself and Minister Chambers. Do you suspect, despite that, there's still going to be an effort at diversification when it comes to our international trade partners? And when I say our, I guess I'm talking about from a European point of view. Ultimately, whatever happens, even if there's an agreement with the US, there will be less reliance maybe on the US into the future.
I think that's a really important point. And I think it is, it's certain to me that even when we do resolve our trade difficulties with the United States, that our efforts to find new markets can't slow down. And it's therefore really important that the European Union and Canada do more trade together, that we find ways to deepen the economic link that we have between our two parts of the world. Because while I'm very hopeful that we can resolve the trade difficulty that is in front of us, we have now learned the importance of having more trade relationships with other parts of the world and a more diverse set of markets for our exports. The US will continue to be very, very important to us, but I think it's now important that we supplement that with additional markets. And that is why our trade with Canada and the importance of it will only grow.
If we do ultimately migrate to that kind of multipolar world, I mean, there was a point in time where it was kind of the multipolar world was the US and Russia, and then maybe the US, Russia, China. Does Europe have the economic clout to be one of those kind of centres of economic power around which the world or a part of the world revolves?
Absolutely. We have the economic clout, to use your phrase, but we need to develop the political capability to match that. If you look at it just in numbers terms, if you look at the size of the European Union as a share of the global economy, we are a really important part of the global economy. But what we need to do better is make sure we have the political stature and the political ability that matches that economic power. And we have more work to do there. We have more work that we need to do within the European Union to complete that part of our project. And that's really been demonstrated to me. And that's why lots of the projects that we're involved in within the European Union, like completing the single market so it's easier to sell goods and services to each other, supporting the work of the Commission, developing a digital euro, better developing our financial markets within the European Union, all those different projects are now incredibly important.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, thanks a million for speaking to us.
Thank you, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.